This is the Uptick Network Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Penny stock news and interviews from the microcap world. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. With your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, we have exciting guests is Ryan Chadell. He is the CEO of Aluma Fuel Power Corp. They trade on the OTC under ticker symbol AFPW. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Hey, good afternoon. Or morning there, actually, afternoon here.
Right. You know, first of all, congratulations of being the new CEO of this company. I know that
you
have a lot of thoughts and you have quite a few different roadmaps that you really want to go down to, and I applaud you for that. So that being said, give my listeners just a little bit about statement of where you guys are at and who you are and where you're going.
Well, I've been CEO of the company for about 60 days now, a little over 60 days. I got elected in. I had a position in the company. I did a deal with the company last year as an unrelated party. And the prior CEO passed away. And, you know, I had a position in the company. I said, okay, well, I need to do something here to protect my investment. So I rounded up the votes to get myself elected in as a director and then subsequently CEO. You know, the company has been around for a while and has tried a lot of different things and never really got legs under it. And so, you know, initially my goal was, you know, come in, kind of assess where everything is, figure out which pieces need to be cut out and moved away. What can we do with some of the debt that's on the book? Can we negotiate some of that out? Specifically the type of debt that converts into equity, which can be very damaging to shareholders. And so for the first 60 days, I've spent an awful lot of time, you know, working on the financial engineering of the company. We've got a few acquisitions that we're looking at. We've launched a new staffing division, which was done roughly about 30 days ago. And then we had another division that we launched literally within the first 2 weeks that I took over. And that's Grind Staffing out in Colorado. It focuses on the cannabis industry. And then American Workforce Solutions, which was launched in the Southeast. We already have clients in both of those subsidiaries. And, you know, the company has some patented technology as it relates to hydrogen power generation from aluminum powder. And the prior management spent an awful lot of money developing that technology, and, you know, we're still kind of trying to figure out what to do with it. And, you know, I'm 99% there that the best thing we need to do with that subsidiary, which is called NovoFuel, is just spin it out and put it on its own. We can, I think, structure that and also take a lot of the company's debt and have that debt put into the subsidiary that we spin out. And that, I think, protects the company and the shareholders from, you know, some potential exposure to dilution and whatnot. So, you know, a lot of moving parts that are being moved around. And, you know, I think I've gotten most of that, my arms around most of it, and, you know, now looking at opportunities to build the company, to build revenues. We have approved a name change that will take place when the company gets current on its filings, and it's going to be called Phoenix Equity Holdings, and I imagine we'll probably do a ticker change at some point. But it's been, you know, the first 2 months have been very busy.
Well, you know, I want to bring to my listeners forefront, which I thought you had mentioned it, but you're pretty modest. And, you know, to me, your claim to fame was, and correct me if I'm wrong, you were pretty much a guru staffing company, privately owned. I think you built it up to, what, 20, 25 million in billings?
Well, you know, I've got a lot of legacies out there. Some of them aren't so great. But, yeah, my claim to fame, quote unquote, you know, we took a startup and we built it to 25 million in revenue in 36 months. With not an awful lot of money. So, you know, I know how to build businesses. I know how to grow revenues, and I know how to do it quickly. You know, I've made some mistakes, you know, throughout my career, and, you know, I'm sure I'll continue to do that, as we all do. But I'm a fast learner. I learn, you know, from mistakes. And, you know, one of the things that I have learned in, you know, the last 5 years is when it comes to capital formation and, you know, there are certain things that you need to do, but you really have to think 6 months, a year out, as you're building these things on your balance sheet, because they have profound effects from the accounting standards. They can have profound effects on your financials, which in turn affect your cost of capital, which in turn, you know, more affects your balance sheet, you know, even more in your income statement. So they're, you know,
absolutely.
I didn't quite get those things as a small entrepreneur. You don't really care about those things. What you care about is, you know, how much cash am I getting every month versus how much am I putting in? As you start building a large enterprise, those financial metrics start to matter, and
absolutely,
the accounting standards really start to matter.
Yeah. Well, I bring up your passive, you know, being a staffing guru for a reason, because, you know, I think you guys are probably working on some new potential acquisitions or some business ventures, and I just want to know if staffing was going to be a part of that.
So as it stands right now, the parent company has three wholly owned subsidiaries, and each of those subsidiaries are in different sectors of the staffing industry. I think it's reasonable to assume that we'll pursue acquisitions if they fit within one of those three business models. But that's certainly not implying that, you know, long term, I think that will be a large piece of our business. I do think we can build upwards of $10 million a year in revenue in the staffing space. But I think that there are some other opportunities that complement that, and, you know, some not so much, but I think there are other opportunities for us out there that not only can bring in revenue, but also bulk up the assets on the balance sheet, which is really what the company needs so that it can attract some cheaper cost of capital. So we are looking at acquisitions outside of staffing.
Absolutely. My guest today is Ryan Shadell. He's the CEO of Aluma Fuel Power Corp, traded on the OTC Pink Sheets under the ticker symbol AFPW. You mentioned you like to do a share buyback. You and I talked about it. What more can you tell us about maybe restructuring that and doing the buyback?
Well, there's a couple of different, you know, ways to skin that cat, so to speak. You know, I'm not a big fan of doing reverse splits, particularly for a stock that's, you know, trading almost as low as it can trade. There are a lot of reasons for that. You know, one of those is liquidity. When you do a reverse split for a very long period of time afterwards, the liquidity in the stock dries up, which makes the stock very volatile, which kind of has a counter effect when you're trying to raise capital. It makes it actually cost you more to try to raise capital when you have a very volatile stock. I think cost of capital can be lowered if the stock is liquid, regardless of really where the price is. So, you know, there's really not a lot of incentive for the company to want to do a reverse split, you know. So, which is great for me, you know, representing a very large shareholder. You know, there are a couple of deals that I'm trying to put together. One of them, and I can only elaborate so much for, you know, full disclosure reasons.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So there are a few large shareholders, and, you know, we've engaged in some conversation to do kind of a swap. You know, offer them some long-term preferred shares that pay out a quarterly or an annual dividend in exchange for their common shares, which we would then retire back to the company treasury, which would reduce the tradable float. That, I think, is probably the quickest, most efficient way to take shares out of the market, and it gives the longer-term shareholders, it reduces their exposure to the whims of the day traders, which you get an awful lot of day traders down here where we're at. So this gives them kind of long-term incentive and long-term protection, and it also pays them out a steady, you know, income stream. So I think that there's some potential to do some things there, and I represent, you know, one of those shareholders as a controlling party, and, you know, we're basically say, hey, look, we'll commit 200 million shares to this. If we can get three or four other people to do the same, then, you know, we have an accord and we'll go. So that's kind of the first, like I said, low-hanging fruit to take a substantial chunk of shares out of the market. And if we can't move the needle with that, you know, there's some other things that we can do also. But we have to kind of build up the assets on the company's balance sheet first. And that's where we get, you know, a chicken and egg situation. I'm confident that I can go secure some long-term debt at a, you know, relatively low cost of capital, and then take that long-term debt and use that to clean up the short-term debt that the company has, and then also use that to take shares out of the public market, which, you know, in turn really strengthens the company's share structure and the cap structure, which should make it easier to attract even more capital at a lower cost. So that's, you know, that's kind of financial engineering, you know, 101 there. Apple does it all the time. They sell bonds in Europe and they use that money to buy shares in the USA. so, you know, we are looking at something like that on a, you know, a little bit of a smaller scale, obviously. And, you know, I think there's some real potential there. And then I personally, you know, control a number of companies, and I am looking for a way that those companies can participate and some structure to remove shares from the public market. So there's a lot we can do there. It's going to take some creativity, and you know, and it's going to take some money.
You know, I saw you guys put out a press release. Maybe it was a week ago or a couple weeks ago about securing capital. Where are you at on the process of that?
So we engaged an investment bank to help us source the capital for acquisitions. Now, this is strictly for acquisition money. This is not related to buyback money or anything else. We have submitted an LOI for the acquisition of a marijuana dispensary in California. The first order of business with that investment bank was to secure the capital for that acquisition. We are in the final stages of due diligence and actually have a call next Monday with the investment bank and with the investor that they've sourced for us to fund the acquisition of that marijuana dispensary. So I'm very excited about that. You know, it's not a done deal yet.
Absolutely.
But I feel pretty good about it. And, you know, I think there's a lot of opportunity in that space. There's a lot of risk still because it's still illegal, you know, federally.
Federally, absolutely.
Yeah, but I think there's a lot of potential there, and it's, you know, it's one of those industries where once things are, you know, legalized at a federal level and the rules and the accounting becomes more clear, if you're not already in, you're just too late, I think. And so there are some risks, but I think the payoff is there to warrant it.
The LOI, the letter of intent, is that signed?
Yeah, it's signed by both parties.
Okay. And do they bring any revenues if they come on ship? Are they going to bring any revenues to the balance sheet? And what are those revenues?
Well, they already have revenues. I can't disclose what the revenues are. Okay. It is profitable. They do have revenues. They've been in business for a very long time. And they're, I think, ranked 4 stars or 5 stars, I forget, on weedmaps.com, which is a like one of the most popular marijuana dispensary location services that's on the web. If you go to weedmaps.com and you look up Meds R Us, which is the name of the company,
mm-hmm.
You know, they've tons of reviews and they're very well liked. They've been in business for quite a while. And, you know, I think it's a real stable operation, relatively speaking, given that, you know, the legalities of it. But, you know, these guys focus on strictly medical marijuana at the moment. So it's all, you know, licensed. You have to have, you
exactly.
know, a doctor give you, you know, right. the okay for it. So it's a little different than the recreational stuff.
Company that we're highlighting today is Aluma Fuel Power Corp. Trade on the OTC markets, ticker symbol AFPW. Ryan, I want to thank you for coming on the show, enlightening us about the last 60 days of what you guys are doing and where you're at and where you're going. It's always a pleasure to have you on here. I wish you nothing but continued success. And please don't be a stranger. Please come back and see us in 40 or 50 days.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks so much for having me.
The following program is entirely sponsored and produced by Uptick Newswire LLC, which is responsible for the following content. The opinions and information provided on today's show are those of the guests and of those of the respective companies they represent, and does not necessarily reflect those of the staff or management of this station. Uptick Network encourages all listeners of the show to do their own due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that'll work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional. The guests of today's show may have paid to appear on the show and are not directly affiliated with Uptick Network or this station.